Hello, and please don't be mad at us. We've had a lot of stuff going on in our personal lives. Dear God, help us.
Hey.
Hi.
Literally no, I mean, yes excuse, but also no excuse.
But also, like,
hella excuse.
We needed time for ourselves.
You know, school. The corporate world.
Yeah, so basically, a long story short, I was having panic attacks. I'm okay now. School. For some reason, Facebook has been sending me sponsored posts of porn fan fiction involving various pop culture characters. Oh, I don't want to see Draco trying to fuck Hermione in a hallway. I just want to read my BuzzFeed article about the 50 top useless but most life-changing products you will find on Amazon. God damn it.
Honestly, every time Kat sends me one of these, like,
just get worse.
It just gets worse and worse. It, like, started with, you know, Draco Malfoy and Hermione fucking in a hallway, and now it's like a three-headed fucking werewolf.
Oh god, I'm trying to pull up the where's the one that I sent you? Oh yes, here's a screenshot of I think it's from Vikings. "What do I mean?" he asked. His voice was deadly quiet. "I mean, why the hell," hell is spelled with one L, "is my mate chained to a wall, shaking, half naked and covered in bruises?"
Good God.
And then under, I guess, the download button, it says, "I didn't agree to be marked by the cruelest alpha until I saw his hands."
Untile?
Untile.
Not until. That word is dead. It's untile now.
No more.
No more.
Yeah. I also did a CBD face mask that I got from work. Mm-hmm. And it looked like I had a sunburn when I was at IHOP. Who the fuck has a sunburn in IHOP in the middle of November? Me.
Only cat.
That's my ride.
Yeah. Honestly, my time hasn't been nearly as tumultuous. It's just been busy.
Yeah, my work conferences, just has, traveling.
My work just has me working a stupid amount. I'm earning every single penny of my salary. How dare they? First of all.
How dare they make you work?
But, you know, yeah, it's just.
Yeah.
It's just been a lot. Like, there's just been no time.
There hasn't. Because, like, I'm on an 8-week semester. Or I guess it's, like, quarters. So, like, by the time we start filming, it's like, oh, I have a final thing I have to work on. Oh, yeah. My class just started.
Exactly.
And I'm also working full time now because I'm a Capricorn.
Catherine hates herself is the moral of the story.
I'm a Capricorn sun with a Pisces moon and Cancer rising. I am a fucking emotional Capricorn, but I will work to bury my emotions. I've also had half a beer.
Half a beer?
So I'm lit.
You've had more than half a beer?
No. No.
Is that just your first one?
This is my first one, Julie.
Oh, I'm on my second.
You know how this goes for me.
I've had one and a half beer.
I mean, like, I'm probably like 80% of the way there, but I'm already red.
You are.
The words are flowing from my mouth. I can speak English.
Yes.
So.
Oh, and if we're bringing up the things that we don't do well, such as speaking English, tell me why.
How did the numbers thing go for you the other night?
So tell me why I'm living with a terrorist in my own home. An actual terrorist. So my man, last night.
Oh, man.
Said something
that was
like,
a treat.
"Do you think you'll be alive in the year 2100? And I stopped, and I was just like, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I don't know how far into the future that is. Like, I don't know. And he goes, "Julie, like, you can't do that math." And I was head empty, bro. Head empty. Could not do.
Not a single thought.
2100 minus 2021. I had to pull up my.
Dining and breathing.
That's it. I pulled up my calculator. Yes, I did. He flamed me all over Twitter.
Oh, yes. I saw that the Andy tagged me in a tweet, and I was like, oh, my God. What does my girl Andy have to say about this?
And I just feel like really attacked right now because we've been together for like 3 years and you should know that I'm not good at mental math.
Exactly. And then she texted me and I was like, I just immediately responded with the answer.
She was, just like,
girl.
79, babes. Like, it was just easy. 79. It's not easy.
But then my mom asked me, wait, how old are you going to be in 79 years? And my brain went blank. So it's even. So thank you to everybody that supports this chaotic mess.
Somehow. We haven't posted anything in like months. And we have like 400 new followers on
Exactly. We're at over 300 people on Facebook liking us. So thank you so much.
Like 100 people in the last like few weeks. Like, where did y'all come from?
It's insane.
But welcome.
And I'm like, these are complete strangers. But welcome to the shit show. We need to have a name for our people, for this cult.
Didn't
we have a name at one point? Or have we done this
I think
long
we were just Crime Loving Pals. Send us suggestions.
Gender-inclusive term.
Pals. We're pals.
Pals. We're all pals here. We love true crime.
We love true crime.
And you love hearing us be a mess.
Honestly, yes.
Yeah, so thank you for sticking through with this intro.
And yeah, it's chaotic, and we'll try to post when we get a chance, I guess, because now we've got Thanksgiving coming up.
I know.
And then, like, 3 days later, it'll be Christmas.
Oh my God, it's already Christmas at work. Like, this lady was asking me a question, and I was like, oh, like, I don't know. You know, when this certain product's gonna be put on the floor. Well, it's Christmas. And I was like, oh,
ma'am.
Okay. All right.
It's November 1st. Like, it's the day after Halloween, bitch.
Okay, but my mom has her Christmas set up late September. She's a Christmas queen. It's so cute.
She deserves to be a Christmas queen, though.
She is. We have two trees this
year. Because she thrives. Two?
We have two big trees this year.
Where are you fitting the second tree? Like, okay, your first tree already didn't fit in your house. Like, the star was bent at the... Because it was too tall. The star was bent at the ceiling.
We may have that issue again this year, but it's fine. We made it
Good
work with a zip
God.
Tie.
It's on brand. It's on brand. It's on brand. I haven't really... kept up on a lot of true
like
crime
the Gabby things. Case the Gabby, was blowing up right? And that just felt very disrespectful to try to
I'm not even gonna name the podcast, but if y'all like to listen to true crime, you know
the one.
This it very just... popular podcast that was like, we rushed to get an episode out on the Gabby Petito case. Person what is there to even report on? This is before the autopsy was done. This is before any information even came out. And they were already like, we have an episode out. Like, that's just
and I feel
that's
like
just exploitative. Exploitative.
It is. And like, it's there. I mean, because this family, they're in the media having to relive the death of their, what was she, 22? Like, she's a baby at 22 having to relive her death in the media. And all of these, like, brands are trying to use it to promote themselves. And it was, it just, that's one of the issues with true crime.
Agreed.
Like,
agreed.
It's, and you could say we're hypocrites because we have our own true crime podcast. But
and
even
like,
though
we
try to make jokes, it's, you still have to recognize these cases.
There's a line, like, you have to maintain some sort of, like, case integrity, you know?
Yeah, because these cases, they either go so sensationalized that they idolize the killer and romanticize them like they do with fucking Ted Bundy, or they're sensationalized to the point where they start victim blaming, like, oh, it was Gabby's fault because she was in the relationship and she didn't get out. No.
Easier said than done, my friend. It's stupid.
It's not fine. No, it's not fine. I'm not going to say that.
And they still haven't found fucking Brian Laundry, right? They haven't. He's dead.
They found human remains.
Human remains. I don't know. Yeah, I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but like,
yeah,
it just seems a little too convenient.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything in the news since then. I've just been doing like my social media and crime research.
Kat's doing some kick-ass research. One day, Kat's gonna come on here with her professor and tell us about the dangers.
She wants to come on here.
I want you to do like how cool of an. Okay,
you would love her.
Let us know if you would like an episode with Kat and her professor talking about the dangers of online dating.
Oh yeah,
it's fucking fascinating.
She did her master's thesis on Berkowitz, so she's also an expert on Son of Sam.
Yes.
And yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm burping. This time it's not
Chipotle? Thanks.
Not Chipotle. Okay, I had Chipotle for lunch.
Oh, so it's still technically Chipotle in a way.
But this is the beer.
Mm.
So.
Yes.
But yeah, well, okay. So we've been rambling for like 12 minutes. Yeah. It's fine.
I haven't said this in months, but. Cue the music.
Cue the music.
Cue the music. Probably our longest intro.
Take a shot.
Yes. So for everybody on Facebook, if you're new to this series, we have our little game where we like to take a shot. If it's coffee, water, whatever beverage in hand, mm-hmm. We don't know math. I don't know how to speak English. Julie doesn't know geography. And
when we sing, did we say when we don't know how to speak the English language? Did we say
that? Oh, yeah, that's definitely on me.
When Kat says.
Absolutely.
So. And absolutely.
Absolutely. We need to, like, make this a formal document.
A formal document, yeah.
Because we're just blanking right now.
Honestly, at any given point, you should be ready to drink.
Yes.
So.
It's me, Margaret.
Me. Okay, go ahead.
What do you mean, go ahead?
It's your case, bitch. What do you mean?
I thought you had a case done.
Catherine, don't play with me.
Okay, no, hold on.
Catherine, don't play with me, Catherine!
Okay, okay. Oh, wait, I think.
No, Catherine. What? Because remember last time when I was working on a case, but then I was traveling like every weekend, so then I didn't get to work on it. And you said,
"Oh my god,
don't worry, I'll come up with a couple cases."
Oh, fuck, you're right. Oh my god. Okay.
Oh my god. This is wait, so unfriend.
No. Oh, god. Gwen. Okay.
We are about to.
I didn't think I was leading tonight.
We are.
Oh my god, I did not. I didn't think I was going to be hosting today. Woo. Okay, let's drink some water. Are you there, God? It's me, an atheist. Help.
He will not help.
He's not. No, he hasn't helped me in my 25 years. He's
Catherine
not going to come
is
now.
Very red.
He's all green for me. You know this. Okay. I mean, yeah, I can still do this. I can do this. Okay. Okay. Are you growing weary of the constant battles in today's world? Rising crime? Financial problems,
yes.
Broken homes, alcohol and drug abuse, Juliana.
Yes, all of that.
rebellious children.
Oof, I got
disappearing morality.
What is a moral?
It seems like the world is growing further and further away from God and Christ.
The one and only.
And the results are obvious.
And what is that?
Are you ready to put a stop to the chaos?
No.
And find true answers to a peaceful, happy life and a renewed relationship with God?
Is that what I'm missing?
Get ready for an amazing change. I don't remember writing that.
I don't know, but it was excellent.
Okay. So, this episode, we do need to put a trigger warning because it's discussing weight loss, dieting, eating disorders. So if those are very triggering topics for you, I would not recommend listening to this one because this is essentially the main topic of what we're talking about today.
Oh, fuck.
And that is Gwen Shamblin and Remnant Fellowship.
Is this a cult?
So, on Wikipedia, you know, I'm like looking through the general info and looking at their sources on the bottom. Somebody edited her page to say, as her official occupation, author and cult leader.
Well,
and then when I went back, they deleted it.
They deleted the cult leader part?
Yeah. So
they're trying to hide the truth.
They're trying to hide the truth. So you've probably seen the documentary for this on HBO Max. Highly recommend. I would also recommend watching Fundy Fridays. Their videos on YouTube are great.
What's the documentary called for the people?
Oh,
We'll come back to it.
We'll come back to that. We'll circle back on to that.
We'll tell you.
Serious. Oh my god. Oh.
She just barked directly into the microphone.
My poor eardrum, Sirius.
I'm appalled at his behavior. I didn't raise him like that. All right.
Oh my gosh.
Keep going. Sorry. I apologize.
See, I don't know what the name of the series is off the top of my head.
We'll get there later.
But you've probably seen this woman's face on it. Also look at Fundy Fridays. They talk about Christian fundamentalist groups and do makeup, and it's really fun to watch. So there's two videos on Gwen Shamblin on there. So she has been called a diet guru, a prophet. And I already mentioned somebody tried to change her official occupation to cult leader, and then it got deleted. So little Gwen, she was born February 18th, 1955 in Memphis, Tennessee. She's a Southern gal, and as such, she was raised as a rightful Christian.
Christian women.
Oh, Lord, yes. So she attended the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. And she got her bachelor's in nutrition and dietary science. And then she got her master's in food and nutrition from Memphis State. And the only information that I could really find about her early life is in her book, The Way Down Diet, because Google lets you look at the first so many pages for free. Mm-hmm. So she talked about how her father would say her eyes were bigger than her stomach. Was growing up, yeah, like, you weren't allowed to leave the table unless you cleaned your plate. Like, that kind of environment. And so she was a cheerleader, and she was struggling with overeating, but because she was active and in a sport, it, like, you know, it kept her metabolism going, I guess. So it wasn't until she went to college and stopped doing cheerleading that she ended up gaining like 10 to 20 pounds. She's a very thin frame too.
Right.
And so she wrote in her book that she would binge and that she would attempt to purge. And this was really fucked up. Her PE class had her sign a contract to lose weight. It was like, I guess, an assignment for the class. And if you set a goal of, oh, I'm going to lose 5 pounds. Oh, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. And you met that goal, you would get an A. Which is a fucked up concept. completely fucked. That is a concept.
Because don't even get me started on the inaccuracy of BMIs.
Oh, yeah. So she graduated, she became a registered dietitian, and she taught at Memphis State for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And she also worked for the Tennessee Department of Health for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1978, this is when she married her man, David Shamblin. Okay. And they had two children, Michael and Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 1986, this is where she had, in the midst of creating her Way Down Diet workshop, which is what made her famous. And so basically the gist of it is that it's portion control and that you learn to eat when you're hungry. So you start to recognize, oh, I'm only eating because I'm bored. And it's right. Like, oh, I'm actually eating because I recognize that I have that feeling of hunger. So mm-hmm. kind of like retraining yourself to recognize hunger and to eat when you feel hungry instead of just, you know, snacking whenever. Right. So
which, like, it's funny because, like, you know, food and diet standards are always changing. And now they mm-hmm. say that you should try to eat before you feel hungry. Like yeah. you shouldn't even really be feeling the feeling of hunger. That's why they say now you should eat like six small meals rather six than three meals. Big ones. Yeah.
And so her big thing with the Way Down Diet was it was a diet program that involved Jesus and God and that genetics really has nothing to do with your weight. But the religion was really the big part.
Oh, God is really working on themselves, girl.
Woo! So she really rose up in the ranks in the televangelist community, mm-hmm. you know, because the Graham family, which they never shut up about here in Charlotte, because that's where the Billy Graham Library is.
Lord.
Yeah, she was like rising up amongst them because it's like, oh, she was like the only woman, like she was the woman that broke the glass ceiling of evangelical women preachers.
Girl boss gatekeep.
She was girl bossing and gatekeeping. And so this is a quote from the New York Times in 2007. It's about turning to God to fill this yearning instead of the refrigerator.
Oh my God. I don't think I've ever heard something so awful before.
Oh yes. And so, you know, she looked the part of, you know, the evangelical woman, you know, like dressing very conservatively, hair done, you know, the girl boss earrings, all that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so in 97, she published the Way Down Diet book. 86 is when she created the workshop. And so according to the Way Down Diet website, Way Down is a revolutionary faith-based approach to overcoming obesity, overweight, and other eating disorders. The concept is simple. Eat when you are hungry and stop when you are full. So often we fill our empty longing hearts with physical food. In fact, we have fallen in love with food and the result has been painful. So
why is it bad to love food? I just would like to know.
What is the missing key, Julie?
Food gives nutrition to my body and it tastes delicious. It does. Why is it bad to love food? Fuck you.
Exactly. So what is the missing key to rising above the magnetic pole of the refrigerator?
What? Is it God?
God. It's you know it's going to be God. Jesus. You know it's going to be God.
The Almighty.
Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. The Way Down helps you put food back in its place and turn to God as the one who can meet your emotional and spiritual needs. The result is a permanent transformation that affects the heart, soul, mind, and yes, the body too.
I really don't know why we got to bring Jesus Christ into this.
Money. It's all about the money. It's all about the money. If it's not about God, it's about money. Better to have both.
The Christian capitalism complex.
Honestly.
Antis.
So then 2 years later, this is when she founded Remnant Fellowship because it was such like a sensation. So they actually like started the church. And the thing about the church, it's mostly white. you know, mm-hmm. mostly right. white Southern people.
Right, right.
And according to their website, their leadership team has 120 shepherds, deacons, ministry leaders, and ministry assistants.
Those all sound the same.
Yeah. Like, they're, like, it's just massive. So, mm-hmm. in 2003, so, yeah, Joseph and Sonia Smith were members of Remnant living in Mapleton, Georgia, and they would, like, travel. I guess that's close to the border. I don't know. But they would, like, travel to Tennessee to the church. And so, within Remnant at this time, it's becoming very cult-like, mm-hmm. you know, you only associate with people in the church.
Right.
Like, the Remnant diet is, like, the way to go. There are also allegations that Remnant was telling congregants to abuse their, like, physically discipline their children.
Oh, my God.
So, like, in the HBO documentary, they talk about how they would, you know, you have your two-hour sermons or whatever, and the children had to sit perfectly still throughout the whole session. And anyone who has kids knows they will sit, but obviously they're going to fidget around because they're children.
They're children. And so, attention spans are not that big yet.
Yeah. And so one of the things that Gwen was accused of was, and there's like audio tapes too of her like suggesting how to physically discipline your children. And like hot glue gun sticks.
Shut up. I don't even want to know.
Using hot glue gun sticks, because I think it was something about how it won't leave a mark. Or like, even if there is, it's like the way that the glue stick hits the skin. Yeah, they're like, it's fucked. And so they were preaching all of this other stuff about abusing kids as a form of discipline, because if you don't physically discipline, like, it's a whole thing about like godly love or something that's obviously twisted from scripture. And so Joseph and Sonia were like, oh, okay, this is how we discipline our children. And so in 2007, Joseph and Sonia were put on trial for the death of their 8-year-old son.
Holy
also Joseph
shit.
But his name was spelled differently. And so basically what happened was they locked Joseph in like a crate or something, like a almost like the dowry chest that I have in my room where right. like, you know, a kid, you know, can fit
it's
in
like
there.
A little fucking coffin.
Yeah. And I think the thing was tied down or something, and you know, the kid's hitting and mm-hmm. trying to get out, and they smack down on the lid and all movement stops, and they do the autopsy. He had damage to his skull, I think, and there's like other evidence of abuse. So they were charged with 4 counts of murder.
Good.
5 counts of first degree cruelty to children, 3 counts of aggravated assault, and 2 counts of false imprisonment.
Yeah, like, you're keeping your son hostage for not sitting
still in
church. An 8-year-old.
Yeah, and there's, like, video, there's, like, audio clips of Gwen, like, encouraging this physical discipline, and then she's like, no, I never said that, blah, 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 blah. She's
ma'am.
She's an awful person. So nothing really happens. Oh my God!
What?
Oh my God! Oh, that was not okay.
So scary.
Oh, I was so silent. That was so silent. Oh man.
I told you I live with a terrorist.
You were like, what? And then you looked right there.
Sirius, you're a little late, bud.
And she's not even in the room.
Cry.
tattoo.
Oh my god, I can't breathe.
Terrorism is what I experience on a daily basis. Terrorism.
Oh my god. We have to, like, just cut out the clip. You have to save the video. And we're going to post the clip
of just Andy, like, fucking, oh my
emerging.
God.
Emerging.
That was the scariest thing I've ever just Andy, appeared. Why? He just manifested himself out of thin air and just scared the living shit out of us.
Look, I just look from my notes to the screen and it's his face.
Just out of the darkness. That was the scariest.
Andy emerging like a little demonic glowworm.
Demonic glowworm. So yeah, if you were, if you thought I was kidding about living with a terrorist, you have evidence. Now firsthand experienced his terroristic activities.
Wow.
Ooh, where were we?
Child I don't even abuse. Know. Oh. So yeah, my notes aren't as thorough because for some reason I thought Julie already had a case done. So this is kind of half-assed this week, so I apologize.
But you're here for the chaos, really. So.
Woo. So basically this whole case put Remnant Fellowship on law enforcement's, like, radar. Mm-hmm. Because they raided the church, like, getting evidence for this case. And it was one of those things where nobody's saying anything because they know they're going to be reprimanded for it. And from 2007, it just kind of, I mean, the church is still going on, but nothing really noticeable. Or, like, nothing really pops up as a red flag for law enforcement to get involved again, but, like, they have it on their radar.
But did they get convicted?
Yes, they did. Good. They were, so, Joseph and Sonia were convicted. Prosecutors had contended that the boy was locked inside a wooden crate and was kept confined to a closet for hours at a time before his death in October 2003. And there was an interview with Gwen, and she's talking about how, you know, she believes in spanking and disciplining your kids.
That is not discipline. Like, literally keeping your child in, like, what is it, entrapped? That's not
literally
discipline.
Entrapped in a box. And so they're still going on. I know more about their website because I was on it so much that it popped up on my Google Chrome as, like, the third visiting option.
No.
Yeah. So I know a lot more about their website. I was going all through that website. So the church is still going on. People are still attending. You know, they're making a shit ton of money off of this program because it's like a cult. It's like LuLaRoe and other MLMs where it's like, oh, you have to pay so much money
to get to level
to get the required readings. Yeah. And, like, they have workshops set up and, like, you have to buy all of Gwen's books. So Gwen's husband, David, he was not really in the spotlight. It was always Gwen. Mm-hmm. And David was kind of in the sidelines. So I don't know if David just wasn't. If he was religious and just not that into it. Ooh, I dropped my bottle. It's fine. Or if he was just going against, like, Gwen, like, what the fuck are you doing? Right. Don't really know. But he was not in the public eye, unlike their children. And Gwen is in the public eye, so her style is changing. She basically goes, oh my god, he's so cute.
He is not. He is a menace.
Oh, little Sirius just he's has so his annoying. Head on Julie's so arm.
So annoying.
Oh, what a comeback episode for us. Jesus Christ. Oh man.
60% banter, 40% true crime.
Yeah. Or like 80-20.
80-20. Love it.
80-20 this go around.
Love it.
So, Gwen in the public eye. No matter how I say this, it's going to come off as mean. And I don't care because she was a horrible person.
Let's do it.
You know, in middle school, like the homecoming dances and like everybody's wearing the thick wedges, like the cork wedges. They have the bad eyeliner, the teased hair, or like the super gelled curls that make your hair look wet. That's the kind of style vibes I was getting from Gwen as like a grown ass woman.
She did not evolve past 16 is what I'm hearing.
So like when she first started, she was dressed like a professional preacher, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like business dress, blazers. And then over time, she sheds her layers as she emerges into her butterfly.
So she
basically looks like a middle schooler going to a homecoming dance.
No.
I'm not, like, I know that's going to sound mean, but she's a horrible person who did horrible things to people. I always think of the 30 Rock joke where Liz Lemon is like, you can either age gracefully like Meryl Streep or try to stay 16 forever like Madonna. Both are queens. Both of them are queens. But you understand what we're saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Except this woman was a demon.
Yes.
And have there been any other like reported incidents of...
So now... Well, I'll get to it. I'll get to it. We're gonna go places. We're going on this journey. So literally a year later, after her divorce from her husband of 40 years, she married... bum, 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 a guy named Joe Laura. Joe Laura was like a D-list Hollywood actor, you know? He found fame in a Tarzan movie in the 80s. Like the made-for-TV movies.
Yeah.
Some of them are either cult classics or they're just shit.
Just shit.
And then he also starred in like a series like for Tarzan in Manhattan, which... Yeah, but here's the thing. Joe was hot back in the day. I do give him kudos for that. He was very, very good looking. But he's a sleazebag because Tarzan was really his only, like,
his claim to fame.
Like, kind of like a one-hit wonder actor. Right. Where it's not like the guy from 16 Candles who's like, no, I just wanted to, like, do carpentry and, you know, live a private life. Like, that's cool. But it's like, oh... Remember when I won the homecoming game, like, back in 87 for our team? That's what this is.
That's both of them. They both peaked. They're trying so hard to hold on to their popularity.
Yeah. So he was basically...
And we say this as formerly unpopular kids.
This is our vengeance.
This is our vengeance, all you motherfuckers.
I was thinking about it, though. Like, our high school had huge main character energy.
Oh, so...
Like, and that's what defined us as human beings today.
A few months ago, went on a trip to Atlanta, Georgia, to go visit the museum, and we met up with one of our close high school friends. And
we love you, Devin.
We were playing like Uno or some like
it was cards. Game. We literally played like Cards Against Humanity and just like talked for like 6 hours. And
We were with him and his partner, and we were just like talking about all the shit that happened in high school. And we're
talking back to like 2006.
His partner was like, "What? Where did y'all go to school? Like, we really had main character energy."
Yeah, we're like, "Oh yeah, our science teachers would smoke weed together in their office and come out." But anyway.
Charlotte Mecklenburg.
We love the high school main character energy. That's why we have a podcast today.
Yes.
So he was like an out-of-work actor clinging to the fame of Tarzan in Manhattan, which is just a tragedy in itself.
So tragic.
So he was like, all right, I'm hot. I'm not a good actor. So I'm just going to become a sugar baby.
Honestly, the dream.
But here's the thing. It wasn't like a sugar baby. It was more of like, oh, you're an older woman, I'm going to take advantage of you, rather than like a mutual like, hey, we both agree that this is what we're going to do, you know.
Right. We're both getting
it's mutual.
Like,
it's mutual. Right. This was definitely more one-sided.
One-sided. Mm-hmm.
So he would date older women with a ton of money so that he could do whatever he wanted. It's like he had motorcycles. Ugh. He had very expensive tastes. So like he used these older women to fund his lifestyle. And he didn't get any more acting jobs.
Well, he peaked.
But.
So. Oh.
He did get the role of a lifetime.
Oh my.
And I will get into that.
Oh my.
So Joe had an on and off girlfriend for like 20 years. It was one of those things where it's like they met when they were super young, like first love sort of thing. And they ended up having a kid together, but they're very on and off. So he wanted to try. Yeah. They're the same age. Okay. Yeah. So he and the girlfriend, he was like, I want to try to become a country singer. I don't know where that came from.
A star like, is born.
A star is born. You solved it. You solved this week's mystery.
I solved mystery.
So he wanted to become a country singer. And his girlfriend was like, no, like, I think because we have the baby, we should move back to Chicago. We'll be close to my family. They can help, you know, raise our kid. But Laura, little Joe, didn't want to get a real job.
Why would he want that? Jobs
so you
suck.
Know, I mean, that is true.
I don't want a career. But... I just want the least annoying way of paying my bills. Come on now.
Exactly. So he's like, all right, you want to go to Chicago? I don't. So guess what Joe proposes?
What?
He goes to the police and claims that his on and off again girlfriend is sexually abusing their daughter.
No. What? What the fuck? What is that? What does that solve? I would just like to know, what does that solve?
What does that show, Joe?
What does that show,
what does
Joe?
That solve? What does... Oh, my God.
That is beyond.
And, like... The woman got arrested in front of her kid and everything, and she's like crying. She doesn't know why this is happening.
What a
and there was literally
dick.
He's a fucking asshole. There was no medical evidence, no physical evidence to indicate abuse, so the charges were dropped.
Okay.
And their relationship was never the same after that.
Yeah, I would hope not.
Like, just a fucking asshole. So he started working as a handyman because he couldn't be a singer.
He couldn't
can't
be
even
actor.
Be a dad. So working as a handyman,
a
yeah, Tarzan is a handyman.
A flop.
So, like, he had, I guess, coworkers or associates that were part of Remnant Fellowship. Mm-hmm. And that's what introduced him to Gwen. And Gwen... has made a shit ton of money from what is essentially a weight loss cult. And so Joe, little light bulb goes off. Huh. I have a rich older lady.
Who's obsessed with staying young and obsessed with looks and appearances.
And Remnant produces their own fellowship music. They have their own recording studio.
Wow.
Literally. So on their website, it says almost all the songs that are played and or sung in our assemblies are original and are written out of the overflow of the heart from a changed life.
Oh my God. What does that even mean?
It's a cult. It's a cult. And so Gwen, looking like Gwen, and Joe, who is still very handsome but a complete and utter asshole... He had taken a bunch of acting classes in LA. And so for the people that knew him, they're like, the greatest acting role he ever took was being Gwen's husband.
Burn.
Burn. The role of a lifetime. Because I don't think Joe had any affiliation with religion.
Right.
Like, at all. And so...
He was just the pony.
He just, literally, a year after she gets divorced, he swoops in playing the loving husband role, playing the godly role. Like, oh, I love my Bible and all of this and this. And people are like, what the fuck? or the people that know Joe are like, what the fuck? And even the fellowship is like, oh, okay.
Where'd he come from? Out of left.
Where'd he? Board. Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah. So, Joe and Gwen, I still can't believe that this shit is real. Like, I was watching the Fundy Friday video and I'm like, I know that music. That is not the music I think it is.
Oh my.
So they're a very, very public couple. Everybody, you know, knows who they are. They're very, very into their appearance and appearing godly, well-dressed, money, luxury. So they released their engagement video on YouTube. It uh-huh. is still posted if you want to watch it. And I shit you not. I shit you not. I am not making this up. The music that they play. You know it. You know what it is.
Fiona, is that you? Fiona? My little bird.
Your little bird brain is exploding. My little bird brain is
exploding. Also, take.
And I looked up the official name. The official name of that theme is Fairy Tale from Shrek.
Yes.
And the whole video, I know it's going to sound mean, but she's a shitty person and Joe is a shitty person.
So it's okay.
It's so cheesy. Like, it's very, it like, because you see some wedding videos and you're like, oh my gosh, that's like so sweet. Yeah. They're like so happy together. This feels insanely staged, very, very cheesy, lots of slow motion editing going on. And like, it's like, oh my gosh, I had no idea you were gonna propose to me at all. We hadn't talked about this before. Like, shock.
Right.
When he gets down on one knee with the fucking Shrek music.
Oh my fucking God.
And like, oh my gosh, all of our friends and family are here? Oh my gosh. And like, oh. Like,
I love
just,
it.
Just,
I love it.
I just
want to
punch the screen.
I'm eating it up.
I just want to punch. Like, punch the drywall like I'm in a fucking fraternity.
Oh my God.
It just instills so much rage in me.
I get it.
And literally, in the video, Joe, Laura, in every language, I say yes.
Ew. You only know one, barely. Like, be she honest, this is like, America. You don't know any more than one language.
But she speaks the language of God.
Oh, the language of Jesus.
Oh my God.
I'm
and like even their
the
wedding
man upstairs.
Yeah, even their wedding was like a huge deal. I didn't bother watching that because I didn't know. I don't know if it had the Shrek music, so that makes it not worth watching. But like, it's like you watch it. I'll try to like post a clip of it on like our Instagram, and if it's under 30 seconds, we won't get copyrighted.
There we
but
go.
It's so bad. Like, she looks like it's just bad. Like, God, because while she her part of her style evolution, there's a reason that I titled my notes, "That's Why Her Hair Is So Big, It's Full of Secrets."
Oh my God. Yes.
When you see her.
Oh shit.
You will know.
Oh shit.
So it's not a cute wedding look. It's not a cute engagement look. And so they get married. It's like a huge deal for the church. Joe is playing his, oh, I'm a loving, devoted, Bible-loving husband, and I get to record music now and be an asshole to my ex-girlfriend,
my God.
Blah, blah, blah. So on May 29th, 2021, Gwen, Joe, Gwen's daughter Elizabeth, and her husband Brandon, and then church leaders Jennifer and David Martin, and Jessica and Jonathan Walters, they got into a 1982, I think it's Cessna 501, which is like a little plane. Mm-hmm. And it's from 1982, to travel to Stuart, Florida, to attend a Women Fighting for America event. But it was pretty much like a MAGA kind of event.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. And so my dad has his pilot license, and he's like, yeah, whenever like you are ready for takeoff, you have to tower in, and then they give you approval. Like, you have communication mm-hmm. with the tower. So the departure controller like told whoever was flying the plane, you know, turn right, heading 130, whatever that means. I didn't get to ask my dad pilot what that meant. But the controller didn't get a response, so he repeated the instructions, and that's when the pilot responded, 130 Bravo Kilo. And then 2 minutes after that, the controller called the pilot again and said to climb and maintain 15,000 feet, mm-hmm. and there was no response.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
The plane crashed. Like, minutes after takeoff. And everyone on board was declared dead.
Fuck! So, what? Like, they just, like...
Oh, wait, no. Elizabeth wasn't on the plane. Sorry. Elizabeth wasn't on the plane, but her husband was on the plane. Okay. Okay, yeah. That's... Yeah. I've had one beer. I can't read.
Holy shit. That look, yeah. They just didn't, so, like...
So, they're trying to figure out what happened. Because my dad was like, oh yeah, that's an old plane, like, you have to maintain those things. Mm-hmm. They don't know who was flying the plane. So Joe had his pilot license, Brandon, Gwen's son-in-law, he had a license, and I feel like, who was it, one of the other two men on board, I think, had a pilot's license as well. So Joe had the certificate to fly that plane. Mm-hmm. The son-in-law, Brandon, he was not certified to fly that type of plane.
Uh-huh.
So they're trying to figure out who was flying the plane. And apparently that investigation is going to take like a year or two to go through.
When was that?
This was in May of this year.
Oh, fuck. I don't know why I thought it was earlier.
That's the thing. HBO was making their documentary when the crash happened. They were like wrapping up the documentary when it happened. And so it was like, oh shit. Like, the two people that we're talking about in this documentary, like, they just died in a plane crash. And so in a New York Times article, former members of the congregation after the plane crash were more open to talking to the production team.
Well, duh, their charismatic fucking evil leader just died, and so now they feel free.
Yeah. And so when you watch the HBO series, it doesn't end with the, I think it's like 3 or 4 episodes, it doesn't end after that. Mm-hmm. So in early 2020, so I'm guessing like maybe sometime in like, you know, spring or maybe even March or something, they're going to HBO is going to release 2 more episodes talking about the plane crash, how the congregation has been affected, and how the church is trying to move forward.
I hope they crash and burn.
And that's the thing too, because when Gwen, and there's like a lot of this that I didn't get to research because it's just another episode on brand for us. I thought I had a whole other week to get this together. One of the things in the congregation, it's like, if bad things happen to you, that's your fault. Like, God is punishing you specifically. Like, I think it was Elizabeth. It was Elizabeth or one of the wives or Brand or one of the wives of her son had a miscarriage. Like a mid to, I don't remember.
Oh God, what fucked up shit?
I think it was Sid's. And again, don't quote me on this because it's been a while since I watched it. I didn't have a chance to rewatch it to like do my notes. But basically, the baby died and no one talked about it. Like, I think it was Gwen's grandchild and nothing. nothing. Like, if it was someone in the congregation, it likely would have been, oh, you know, you did something wrong. God right. is punishing like, you. God is but punishing. When it's my right. family, no. And apparently this took, like, a huge toll. I don't think it was Elizabeth. I think it was the wife of her son.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, people looked at her and they're like, she's not okay.
Well, duh.
Yeah, like, she lost her child. And she had lost, like, a tremendous amount of weight.
And I'm sure she has to, like, act like everything's okay.
Exactly. That's exactly what they had to do. That is exactly what they had to do. And so HBO is now, like, you know, wrapping up, or, like, they're probably in the midst of editing these episodes that are going to come out. So, on the website, for Remnant, they released a statement. Remnant Fellowship categorically denies the absurd, defamatory statements and accusations made in this documentary, yet another Hollywood attack on religion.
The leftists.
Over the last 20 years, countless celebrities and public figures have had to endure allegations of child abuse, eating disorders, sexual abuse, and more. While many of these situations might be accurate, there are definitely situations where people are falsely accused. In today's society,
while many of these might be absolutely on the fucking nose,
everyone should be highly discerning regarding anything they see on any media. We insist that the allegations made against our church are completely false and defamatory. Our membership includes a high number of professional mandatory reporters who would be required by law to report any signs of abuse or concern, including over 90 medical professionals, including doctors, nurses, and psychologists, 7 legal professionals, 4 law enforcement professionals, and over 20 educators. These mandatory reporters have never reported any concern regarding the health or safety of any children at the church.
I feel like...
if you have to specifically count the occupations of your congregants as proof...
yep. Some ain't right.
And, like, it's... and that's literally, like... the whole church, and this is why I spent so much time on the website. They have a whole page on their website that is like 12 or more videos debunking each claim, or debunking each claim made in the documentary.
Like, it's just like it makes
hold
it
on,
look
let me
more...
let me pull it up so I can read it aloud because it's fucking wild. I was sitting in Starbucks, like, what am I reading? This is just wild. And I'm like, these people probably think I'm fucking crazy because I'm just looking at a church for like 3 hours. Yeah, when you go on their website, the first thing it says is click here for our response to HBO. I read part of it.
It's just like, oh no, the church doesn't have a history of covering up, you know, fucking less than desirable. Oh, what?
Oh, I did not see this.
We're discovering things as the
episode
progresses.
Are discovering things. Hello. I am livid. Young Joseph Smith passed away in 2003 of a staph infection and high fever.
Oh,
the presence of this infection was verified by hospital technicians in court. However, his parents, church members Joseph and Sonia Smith, were accused of outrageous acts of abuse that led to his death.
Are you fucking serious?
Oh,
like, if that doesn't tell you enough, like...
it continues.
They were fucking convicted.
Oh my God. I don't know how I didn't come across this before. During the Smiths' trial in 2007, police testified under oath that there was no link between the child's death and the church's teachings. The leadership of Remnant Fellowship felt this was a false accusation towards an inner-city African-American family that was in part due to racism, so they felt the need to defend the innocent who were not able to defend themselves at their income level. And one of the things that the detectives working the case said the church was involved in every aspect of this, like to the point where it was like, something has to be going on, because, you know, people a part of religious organizations have been accused of crimes. But from what this guy said, he's never seen a church be as involved in an investigation as this one.
That's how you know that they're trying to cover something up, because they're trying to stay ahead of the narrative.
Like, literally, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They have like 10 check marks on here of claims against what people say in the documentary. It's insane.
And that's the thing, is like, how do you debunk the fact that this child died and that the parents were legit convicted?
Yeah.
For abusing this child.
And there's other like testimonies from people in the church saying, yeah, we were hit with glue sticks. Like, yeah, we were told, you know, if your kid acts out, hit him with a glue stick. And at first,
and, like, the fact
I was
that
confused.
It's like, hit them with the fucking glue stick so it doesn't leave a mark. Like, that
yeah,
is
at
pure
first I was
evil.
Confused.
That is
I was
pure
like,
evil.
I thought it was like the roll up glue sticks. And I was like, oh my God. Either way you interpret a glue stick is fucking horrifying. Like, and then this is what they do. This is what makes them so smart. They know how to cover their tracks, because on the same website, on the same page, they have testimonies from two professors who study religion talking about how Remnant is not a cult. Dr. J. Gordon Melton, PhD, distinguished professor at Baylor University for American Religious History, was interviewed at length by the producers of the HBO documentary, yet they refused to include any of his testimony. Did I copy and paste his whole thing? Okay, no, it's just going to show he has like a 5-paragraph thing. I'm just going to read a bit here. In my duties as the author of the Encyclopedia of American Religions, I have researched and monitored the Remnant Fellowship for more than a decade. It is a relatively new movement that grew up around the work of the late Gwen Shamblin, the author of 2 best-selling books. I had the opportunity to attend various worship services at Remnant and interact with members and attendees. Just another suburban congregation, not unlike Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian.
Just a bunch of whiteys is basically what it's saying.
In spite of the averageness of the members, Remnant has been accused of being a cult, which one could spend time examining the charge. 2 conclusions have emerged from my observations. First, the term cult is one that the academic community discarded some decades ago. I was literally taught what a cult is in my intro to religion class back
in
2016. It is such a confusing term, being used in so many ways by so many people in public discourse, often tied to the abandoned idea of brainwashing. It wrongfully invites the association of Remnant, blah, blah, blah. Second, even if one accepted the popular definitions of cults offered in the 1970s, to describe groups such as the Unification Church or the Hare Krishna movement, the Remnant Fellowship bears none of the more negative characteristics attributed to these groups. It does not separate itself from the culture. Members maintain close relationship with friends and family who are not part of the group. Children are socialized, and he goes on. And then the next is Dr. Donald A. Westbrook from San Jose State University and University of Texas, where he's a religious studies scholar. What did he say? I've had the chance to visit Remnant Fellowship twice. Read their literature, attend worship services, and observe children activity groups. Get acquainted with the Way Down programs. Listen to dozens of hours of Gwen Shamblin Laura's sermons. I found its members to be extremely welcoming and opening. And then where's the page? Yeah, they have like their sermons posted online too. And then they have a whole page on their leadership of like all the people involved in that. Oh, I wonder.
It's just like, page don't you think that if the church knew that you were coming as a religious scholar, that they would be on their best behavior?
Exactly. And, like, when you click their About Us page, They have, what is it, 3, 6? They have tons of videos about their different things that they preach about. Where did I find all those videos about the HBO documentary? I know it was on their page. Oh, okay, no, you just have to scroll further down. So on that same page that I was just reading, when you scroll further down, my window was like at half size so I can see Julie's face. When you scroll further down, they have 9 videos debunking what the documentary claims. And so in the very first video, I have never been body shamed. I was looking on the leadership board, and this woman is a leader of the church. They use, this is what they do.
Internal fucking, like, what?
So when they were making these videos, it's very obvious that they were choosing people of prestige.
Right.
So, like, the woman whose husband is also in leadership, she's also in leadership. Oh, I've never been body shamed, and I'm an EMT and a paramedic. Like, and then the video underneath it, yeah, they have a paramedic, emergency medicine, a pulmonologist, a nurse practitioner, and a healthcare administrator talking about how there is no body shaming, how the weigh down system works. You know, they know what they're talking about because they've seen eating disorders in affected people. They know what body shaming does to people. And, oh, Remnant doesn't do this because, you know, okay. I do this as a living. And
literally, like, 80% of the Heaven's Gate cult were all, like, computer engineers, and yet they couldn't tell the difference of the fact that the leaders that they were following were literally just quoting Star Trek.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean, like, shit to me, honey.
Exactly.
It doesn't.
Like, one woman that they
interviewed. You drank the Kool-Aid. They drank Gwen's Kool-Aid.
I don't think Gwen would let them drink
the sugar-free Kool-Aid.
The sugar-free Kool-Aid. There you go. Sugar-free.
Zero calories.
So, like, one of the women that they interview is a school principal talking about how Remnant Fellowship is different because the parents are taught to put the needs above the children. You know, the needs of your kids should supersede your own needs. And she even brought in Maslow's hierarchy of needs to prove how the program thrives for children.
Yes.
It's like, it's very weird. Like, literally, these are captioned.
I restrict my kids on fucking eating the things that they want to eat. And that's how I fulfill their ultimate self-being.
Like, and so, one of the, I guess, subplots of the documentary where, you know, they're trying to talk about how this is a cult. There was a member of the church that met this girl. They were, like, in high school together. And the family was like, he's, like, trying to recruit her into this cult. And the father was like, yeah, he said he was going to try to recruit her into the church and lose contact with us. And so in the HBO documentary, they're talking about, like, we're scared of losing our daughter. And you want to know how God has a sense of irony?
Yes.
The daughter and the congregation member got married the afternoon of the plane crash.
Shut up.
I am not making that up. Gwen and Laura's plane crashed that, like, early morning, and they got married in the afternoon.
God said this is an unholy union.
Yep. So when you go,
if you needed a sign to not do it, here it is. The universe is speaking to you.
Because on their little clip here captioned "How We Met," it features the woman and the guy trying to recruit her, and literally, the screen cap says, "Freedom to choose who you marry."
Isn't that just, shouldn't that just be, like, standard? It's like, do you want a cookie for stating the obvious?
Like, it's literally, it's just like these blanket
statements
like, I have never been body shamed. Members are all shapes and sizes. Never judged and always shown love. Remnant children are healthy and thriving. Freedom to choose to marry.
It's like
over 500 pounds lost, always encouraged and never judged. I left the church and I was welcomed back with open arms. Way down diet works. Yeah, miracles happen here.
Oh,
and it literally says healthcare administrator, nurse practitioner, school administrator, doctor, like.
And I mean, even like that was the thing that was so weird about the Heaven's Gate cult is that before that, they like researchers always thought that it was like people with like no real education that didn't have career aspirations and this and that, like, and
it's like, that's no, why these they are were intelligent people.
These are intelligent people. They're just being caught at vulnerable times. Like,
yeah, like weight is a very sensitive topic for a lot of people.
Exactly. So it's like, just because they have a good career doesn't mean that they can't easily be quote unquote brainwashed into.
Exactly. Like, these are people of prestige and money.
Literally, food is good for you. We should love food. There's nothing wrong with loving food.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Fuck you, Gwen.
Yeah. Fuck that's why you, I was Gwen. Like, you know what? They say don't speak ill of the dead, but she harmed a lot of people.
She harmed a lot of people.
So, yeah.
Ugh.
God.
I just
and
feel
so yeah, they're trying to figure out
poor baby Joseph.
Yeah, so they're trying to figure out now, I guess, what the next move is with church leadership. So, oh, I was just at the page where it had Elizabeth's statement. Yeah, she released this statement talking about her children, because she has four kids. So it's sad that these four kids lost mm-hmm. their dad, but they were also doing a lot of harm to people. But it's also, you know, it's yeah, sad that these kids lost their dad. Talking about her husband, talking about her mom, how she's a caring mother. I'm just, like, glancing over this. I'm not trying to, like, take things out of context. But yeah, I think they're pretty much trying to figure out how the leadership is going to go. Oh, what? What? Oh, okay. I just came across this sentence that really stood out. So it's basically talking about her love of God and, you know, her love for her husband and her mom. And then she said, people in our church have laid down anger, drugs, anxiety, nicotine, hopelessness, gossip, pride, overshopping, overdrinking, overeating, eating disorders, jealousy, praise of man, overgaming, sexual lusts, and other addictions in the heart that separate us from the love of God.
Oh my God. Don't love anything.
I don't understand why that sentence.
Be a stale piece of bread. Don't enjoy
trying to rally. Oh, okay. We encourage anyone to come along in this journey to the heart of the Father. We pray you will come and see us at Remnant. So I guess that's one way to advertise your business.
I just
after
feel
your
like
husband and mother die.
That's a telltale sign of a cult, is that if your whole belief and outlook in your religion revolves around one person to the point where it's like you're scrambling to find leadership after that person passes or whatever. I'm like,
yeah.
If you're talking about God, the only person that it should center around and be about is God, not about the stuff that this lady wanted you to believe. And like,
yeah,
it should be easy to transition to somebody else to be leader, you know, whatever, because at the end of the day, it's like whoever's going to teach you about God, not like,
yeah.
That just blows my mind. That just blows my mind.
At this time in my life, I am absolutely honored to follow in my mother's footsteps and serving others around the world to find God. I will be forever grateful to God Almighty, His Son, Jesus Christ. Beautiful examples in the Bible and to my most beloved mother. To those who are sinking, keep seeking and never give up, my friends. Search this website and come and visit Remnant.
No.
We are no based thing. On nothing but the Holy Bible, always digging for the truth. For the truth shall set you free. I don't feel like promoting your business in like a memorial post is rather tasteful.
Yeah, no, or respectful. I would not say so. But it's what it's what Gwen would have wanted. Let's be honest.
Gwen wanted to be the center of attention.
She just wants us all to be skinny legends.
Have I shown you the picture of Gwen?
Excuse me. No.
Bless you. I have not seen it. Okay, because when I tell you that's why her hair is so big, it's full of secrets.
Oh, God. There it is. There it is.
You see it?
Oh, no. No.
I'm surprised that no one else thought of this.
The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within
that. The higher the hair, the closer to God.
The higher the hair, the closer you are to God. Oh, honey. Gnarly.
Oh, yeah. And then when you look at her from, like, the 90s, it's literally...
It's a different human being.
It's a different person.
And that's how... Another thing is, like, you're literally just focused on your vanity when God is literally not about vanity. Like, a worldly thing is vanity and the way that you look on earth. None of that shit is going to transfer with you into heaven. That's a sin. Vanity. Ooh. I got to take my antidepressant after this.
Go take your antidepressant.
We got to stay not depressed, babes.
Not depressed.
We will not let depression win.
I was very surprised with how therapeutic journaling was.
Oh, it's the best.
I felt like that literally subsided my panic attacks. I mean, obviously medication too, but like yes. Journalism was like just the boop.
I'm still looking at these pictures and up. It just keeps getting worse.
You need to watch her engagement video. It will get worse.
I'm scared.
You need to watch it and we need to hear your reaction.
Yes, but I'm scared. This is a lot. This woman is a lot.
It's a lot of hair, a lot of eyeliner, a lot of fake tan, and no room for Jesus.
That should be the title. Just all of that. A lot of hair, a lot of eyeliner, and not enough room for Jesus.
Yes.
Hold on, let me write this down.
Oh my God, we really do both. We're so... Wow. Who knew our childhood traumas would translate so well into bullying cult leaders?
I love it.
Because I, too, had my too much eyeliner phase. But I was also, like, 14.
Yes.
So it's acceptable. It's a learning curve, but it's acceptable. Wow.
Wow. I hope you guys enjoyed.
Yeah, that's pretty
whatever
much
that was.
It.
It was what it was. You know what?
Welcome back, kids.
Welcome back, kids. Would it have been a comeback were it not absolute chaos?
Exactly. This is like our Willy's Wonderland episode.
It is. You know what? We're allowed.
If Nick Cage can make so many millions of dollars by starring in a movie where he does not utter a single word,
and just
you can drinks, do anything you put your mind to.
And drink soda and beats up animatronic demon.
Do you know how easy that, like, he literally did not have to know what was going on because everyone around him is speaking.
He didn't know what needed to be said.
The man didn't do a single thing except clean and kick ass and play pinball
on his
break.
Oh, that
multiple
was so
breaks.
Good. It was so good.
Ugh. Yeah, so that's an hour and a half of chaos, y'all.
Love it. I love it. I love
it's
it, babes. It's on brand, babes.
Oh, goodness.
Thanks. Thank you for sticking through that. I had a hell of a good time. And
I was really caught off guard.
I I swore.
I thought Julie had already researched an episode. And, like, I had started this research, but I hadn't quite finished it yet.
Like, you literally texted me, I'm almost done with my research. So I thought that meant. I thought that, because, okay, we had had the conversation. I was like, I'm literally traveling every weekend. I just haven't had time to research an episode, which I have an episode that I've, or a case that I've started.
That's what I thought you had finished.
And I hadn't finished it because I've just been traveling every weekend. Yeah. And then you were like, do you want to record this week? I'm almost done with my notes. And I was like, oh, lit.
And she's just like, oh, are you gonna talk now?
So I'm like, okay, hey, take it away. And you said the same thing. What?
What do you mean, take it away?
But honestly, I could have never done what you did just now. This is talent. This is girl boss. This is gatekeep. You know what? We need an ABC of crime. This week's ABC of crime is K for knuckle sandwich, as in the knuckle sandwich that God is serving to Gwen in the face right now for advocating for child abuse and unhealthy beauty standards.
And encouraging eating disorders.
And encouraging
eating disorders. Amongst vulnerable people.
Because all of us were made in God's image. And God said, don't talk about my children that way, bitch.
Back the fuck up. God is a mother who will fight for you.
Back the fuck up. Don't talk about my kids that way. And that is the only logical way of ending this episode. I'm
crying. I don't know. Because Julie wanted to make it something about food, and I was like, knuckle sandwich.
Knuckle sandwich. I think that's pretty good.
Oh, man. Well, we've taken enough of your time.
Snot just came out of my face. Legit.
So if you've come along this far, thanks. No.
Thank you. Thank you for everything you've done for us.
Okay, so for context, Julie and I Julie dressed up as Colonel Mustard for the Beer Wine Fest, and I went as Miss White. And she just put on her fake eyebrows from the Colonel Mustard outfit.
Honestly, this is my look. I should look like this all the time.
We also need to include a
screenshot
of this. We need to include the screenshot of it. Oh my God.
I'd be looking up at God.
I look up at God giving Gwen Shamblin a knuckle sandwich. Ooh, Colonel Mustard with the knuckle sandwich in heaven.
Too much hair, too much eyeliner, not enough room for Jesus.
Oh my God, we're going to hell.
We're going to hell directly. Do not pass go.
Do not collect $200. Do not collect $200. You have been condemned for all eternity.
Good God. Good God. We love
and
you.
That's our legacy on the internet.
We love you. We love you so much for staying by us despite this.
Oh.
It's quality content. I'm not going to lie.
It is. We're making people's day, or they just want to punch us.
And
I'm fine with either.
I'm fine with either, really. I just want to be heard.
I want to be listened to.
I want to be listened to. I just want attention.
Oh, so thanks for listening to us,
thank
pals.
You. Thank you,
fellow
crime-loving
enthusiasts.
Oh. All y'all that listen to this somehow, ooh. Thank you. We love you.
Thanks.
We promise to have our shit together by next episode, maybe.
Promise.
Promise.
I won't cry, I promise.
She promised. Good night, my friends.
Good night.
I've never heard a sound so defeated at the end of an episode.